Well, good morning. Greetings to each of you. It is good to be here in Bradford. I bring you greetings from Word of Life Mennonite Fellowship in Lititz, which is home for us. But it's good to spend the weekend here with Amy and Aaron and their family. And I knew I was coming, and I had asked Aaron if I should. I was telling him I was debating whether I was going to offer or not, and he didn't pressed me too hard, but anyway, I did call Kev then and said that I was willing, and Kev took the opportunity and left me take the privilege here to share with you this morning. As I was thinking about what to share, I had not looked at the Sunday school lesson at all to see where that was, and so my message really, I think it continues on in our Sunday school lesson in reality. Our Sunday school lesson was a good lesson of courage. Thank you, Rodney, for your teaching this morning. I invite you to turn with me, first of all, to a few verses in Philippians chapter 3. This is not my text, but it's where I'm going to get my title from. We are going to be looking at some writings of Paul this morning. So our Sunday school lesson was taking the lesson of courage from the Old Testament in Joshua. But this morning, again, we want to look, first of all, Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to jump in at verse 13. Paul here, he says, brethren, he's talking to the church. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So as Paul is talking here, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's saying, I am not there yet. I am still working at it. God is still working at me. I haven't attained it. But he says this one thing. He says, there is one thing that I am doing. There is this goal of mine. It's my purpose. It's my vision. It's my aim. He goes on and he says, I'm forgetting the things in the past. He's not going there. He's forgetting the past, but he's looking for what's ahead. He is pressing towards the prize. There is a goal that he is aiming for. He says, I press towards the mark. The mark. The mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's his ultimate goal is that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe there was probably also, we could say there was a farther out goal, a goal of heaven someday. He is pressing for the mark. And so that's my title this morning, Pressing Toward the Mark. And as we think about that, as we think about pressing towards the mark and doing that with courage, as our Sunday school lesson talked about, how do we do this? How do we press towards the mark? What does that all look like? Well, I'd like to go to 2 Timothy for our text this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I believe Paul gives us some clarity of what this pressing towards the mark looks like. As he shares with Timothy, as he gives Timothy encouragement, the terminology that Paul uses in a lot of his writing, and particularly I believe here in Philippians that we looked at and in 2 Timothy, it's kind of that of an athlete or an athletic competition of some kind. Maybe it could be like a race or a marathon. or that of a wrestling match or a fight of some kind. And so as we think of this athletic competition, whatever it might be, this morning, well, there's times where we go to maybe a game of some kind, and we're observers, we're spectators. Well, this morning for this competition, we are not spectators, but rather we are participants. We are participants. Second Timothy. Let's read a few verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." As Paul writes this, as he's writing to Timothy here, it is most likely from a prison cell somewhere in Rome. Paul is just steps from the finish line of his race, his athletic competition, if you will, his marathon. It's just before his execution. He is just at the finish line. He is ready to receive his prize. And Paul says, "I fought a good fight." He fought well. He says, "I finished my course. My life is about over." I believe Paul, he finished strong. And he says, "I've kept the faith." This morning, I have 3 points that I want to share with you. As we think about pressing toward the mark, there's 3 things that I think are essential. We need to fight well, as Paul did. We need to finish strong, as Paul did. And we need to keep the faith, as Paul did. Pressing toward the mark. Let's think about fight well. So as Paul said, he has fought a good fight. I believe that if we are going to press towards the mark, it means that we too will fight well. Paul had been in this arena of life, and he says, "I fought a good fight." And I picture maybe a wrestling match where the participants, they wrestle. And Paul says, "I've done it well. I fought well." And so what is Paul talking about when he talks about this fight? It is not the physical fight. It's not like being in an arena or in I think of the little arena that they have when they have boxing fights and there's inside the ropes. That's not what we're talking about here. I believe the fight that Paul is talking about, the fight that he fought well, is simply life. It's the Christian life with its challenges. We know that there's challenges in life. It's a battle. The Christian life is a battle. I had to think back when I was younger, there was a song that I believe was sung by the Gospel Express ministry team. I tried to find the words of it, but I couldn't. But it went on something, this life is a battlefield. Children, you better get ready. Went on to have the phrase of it's not going to be easy. And I believe that's what Paul's talking about when he says, "I have fought a good fight." It's the Christian life. It's the everyday things that you and I face in life as a Christian. And Paul says, I fought a good fight. It's a good fight. It's good. Again, this is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual fight. Again, it's not physical. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a serious battle that you and I face, and we need to fight it well. We need to fight the fight well, and we need courage to do that. Just as Joshua needed courage to lead the people into the promised land, we need courage to fight the battles of life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Again, a good fight, he's calling it. The fight of faith. Fight to hang on to your faith. Friends, this morning, you and I are in the arena right now. You and I are where the battles happen. The arena of life. And so how today do you and I fight well the battles of the Christian life? How do we fight well? What does it mean to fight well? I have several suggestions that I'd like to share this morning of what I believe it means to fight well as we face the Christian life and the battles that come along with it. I was given this topic, this assignment, back some time ago to share at another church. And prior to that, as I was thinking about it, I was sharing with my family one weekend when we were together, and I asked them, what does it mean to fight well? And one of the family suggested to fight well means that we need to embrace conflict. And I had to think about that, but I believe it is true. If I'm going to fight well, I need to embrace the fact that there is going to be conflict. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you where I am at. I don't like conflict. Matter of fact, I would rather run the other direction than face conflict. I am not one who likes to debate. I can't think that fast. I avoid conflict if I at all can. That's just me personally. And as I think about the Christian life, I need to embrace the fact that I'm going to face conflict. And that's not easy for me. But it's part of it. If I'm going to fight well, I need to embrace the fact that there will be conflict. Now, it doesn't mean that I go out and I'm making it my mission to pick fights with people. That's not what we're talking about. But we're in the arena of life, and that is where conflict happens. And this conflict is not simply my way versus your way. It's a spiritual conflict. It's a spiritual battle. It's a conflict of truth versus error. It's a battle or a conflict of God's word versus maybe some worldly ideals. It's a conflict of good versus evil, life versus death. It's the battle over living victorious over sin or failing in defeat. It's a battle of commitment versus compromise, conviction versus doubt, right versus wrong, half-hearted Christianity versus being totally sold out for Jesus Christ, a full surrendered life. It's a battle of the flesh versus the spirit. My ways versus God's ways, and we could go on and draw the comparisons. But it's in these conflicts We need to embrace it, that we're going to face it. And it's where we need to fight well. We need to fight well. Paul kind of describes this as he's writing to the Romans. In Romans chapter 7, verse 19, he says, "For the good that I would, I do not." In other words, those things, those right things that he knows he should be doing, he says, "I don't do them. I fail." And he goes on and he says, "But the evil which I would not, that I do." That's the battle of doing the right thing. Sometimes we lose the battles. We fail. But this morning, we're going to face battles. We need to embrace the conflict. It's an internal battle within us. We cannot run away from it. We need to embrace it. We need to embrace it if we're going to fight well. To fight well also, I believe, means that it's going to take endurance. It's going to take endurance. The battle at times will be hard. It will be agonizing. It will be difficult. It will be painful. And it will take endurance. A definition of endurance that I found says this. It says it's the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Endurance. We need to endure. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be unpleasant. A Bible definition that I found says this. It says, endurance refers to the capacity to withstand difficulties and remain steadfast in faith and obedience to God. Endurance. To fight well means we need to have endurance. Hebrews 12:1 states, it says, "Let us run with patience." The word patience has the idea of endurance. We could put the word endurance in there. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That marathon, that Christian life that we have in front of us, we need to face it with endurance. Another definition that I found for endurance from a Bible dictionary, it says, patiently and faithfully persevering through trials and hardships empowered by God. And I like that part of it, adding there that this endurance is powered by God. It's God in us helping us in those battles. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was talking about the end times and kind of describing the battles, the fight that we face in life. He says this. He says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." We need to endure to the end. Fighting well means we will endure to the end. We will faithfully endure. 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Again, the call for endurance in the battles. 2 Timothy 4:5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Again, Paul encouraging Timothy to endure. Endure the difficult things. And James says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Again, if we're going to fight well, it takes endurance. We need to hang in there. Don't give up. When the going gets hard, don't give up. So we embrace. To fight well, we embrace the conflict. We fight with endurance. Another area that I believe it takes is that we need to fight as a team. We need to face our battles as a team. We need each other if we are going to fight well the battles of the Christian life. If you think for a moment that you've got this on your own, that you can face life by yourself, I believe that you are setting yourself up for defeat. We need to be willing to call a brother or sister and say, "Hey, I need help." And we need to be, as a brother and sister, we need to be willing to answer the call for help when someone else needs help. We need each other if we're going to face the battles and fight well. Philippians chapter 1, again, Paul writing to the Philippian church, verse 27. He says, "Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Striving together. He's recognizing that it's a battle. It's a fight that we are facing as Christians. And we need to strive together. Not strive individually, but strive together. We need each other. We need each other. We need the accountability of each other. We need the support of each other, the encouragement of each other, just simply the moral support of each other. You ever try to have a nice roaring campfire with a single log? A log that's all by itself? It does not burn well at all. To have a nice campfire, you need multiple logs in that fire, burning together, feeding on each other, and you can have a nice campfire. A single log, the fire is going to go out. It can't sustain itself. That's the way it is for us in our Christian life as well. We need each other. If we're going to be faithful, if we're going to stand strong and fight well, we need each other by our sides to encourage each other along. You know, there's sometimes Christians who isolate themselves. And they say, they leave the church and they say they're going to do the Christian life by themselves. They don't need the church. They don't need the accountability of the church. They're going to stand on their own. Friends, I am telling you here this morning that it won't happen. I mean, maybe there can be some isolated cases where somebody can be faithful. But I'm telling you this morning, we need each other. We need the support of the church. We need to fight the battles of life together. If we're going to fight well, it needs to be done in teamwork. To fight well in the battles of life, we also need to stay fit, spiritually fit. Fighting requires us to be in a good spiritual shape. 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, "Every man that striveth for masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And so if we go to the physical realm of things, if you take somebody who wants to run a marathon, they need to practice, they need to work out, they need to maybe change their diet, eat right, and exercise well, and they do that all physically to obtain a corruptible crown, if you will. But Paul says, we need to do this, but it's for an incorruptible crown. We need to do this spiritually. Spiritually, we need to be in top shape. If we're going to face the battles and fight well, we need to be in good shape spiritually. We need to daily exercise. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be studying God's Word, meditating on God's Word. We need to spend time in prayer, stretch our spiritual minds. Physically, if you want to stay in shape, that's what you do. You push your limits, you eat healthy, you eat right. Again, that's done for an incorruptible crown, but they do it for a corruptible, we do it for an incorruptible. And so we need to We need to stay fit. We need to stay in shape if we're going to fight well. Spiritual exercises. Again, fighting well. If we're going to fight well, we need to have the right tools. So I was thinking about a carpenter or maybe a mechanic. In order for them to do their job well, it takes the right tools. If we're going to fight in our spiritual lives, we're going to fight the battles of life, we're going to do that well, it takes the right tools. But God gives us the tools that we need. God has a toolbox with all the tools that we need. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This morning, we're not going to take the time to look at the tools in the toolbox that God gives us there, the armor. But God has at our disposal everything that we need to fight well the battles of life. God has given us the tools. This morning, we're talking about pressing towards the mark. Pressing towards the mark means that we must fight well. To fight well means that we embrace the conflict, we endure, we fight as a team, we stay fit, and we take advantage of God's tools that He's given to us. My second point, and I promise you my points will get shorter as we go. Finish strong. So Paul said, I fought a good fight. I fought well. And he says, I finished my course. I believe this morning that if we, to press towards the mark means that we too must finish strong. It's interesting, as Paul says, I've finished my course. He didn't say that he won the race. He simply said, I've finished. I finished. I believe Paul knew that his life was coming to an end. His time on this earth was very limited. But you know, in Paul, as he went on in his end of life was coming to an end, he didn't slow down, but he finished strong. He finished strong. Earlier in Paul's life, when he was a much younger man, he said this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. His goal was to finish his course and to finish it with joy. So he said that as a young man. Now he's at the other end of life. He's at the finish line. And he's looking back over his life. He's looking back over the race that he ran. And he says, I finished. I finished it with joy. I finished it well. You know, it's one thing to begin well, but it is something different to finish well. To finish well is what really counts. That we persevere to the end. That's what really counts. And Paul said, I have finished well. Sometimes I think we can tend to be, or maybe I shouldn't say we, I should say I. I can maybe be a great starter, but a lousy finisher. I don't like reading. To pick up a book and read, that's not my joy. I don't do it. And in my office, I have a stack of books that people with good intentions gave me and said, this is a good book, you should read it. And I can start well. I go into the book and I'm going to do this. This is, and I start well. But I bet most of those books in my office, I have not finished. I lose interest. I don't like to read. It's hard work. And so I am maybe a great starter, but a lousy finisher. But that dare not be the way I live my Christian life and fight the battles in my life. I need to be a strong finisher. My mind goes to an athlete as he is running a race. He begins that race at a nice steady, and maybe I should clarify, maybe this is a marathon, let's say. And they start at a steady pace, and they run that race. But as the finish line comes into view, they give it all they have. They finish strong. And maybe there's not a whole lot left there to give anymore, but they give it all they have. My mind goes back to my days in school. When I was in 8th and 9th grade at Ephraim Mennonite School, we had track and field. And one of the events in track and field was the mile run. And where the mile run consisted of running around the perimeter of the school property several times. I don't remember how many times it was anymore. And so as I did that in those 2 years, I remember you start out at that steady pace and you go around that property and you start around that last time, you know the end is coming and you pick it up a bit. And maybe you're all in a pack fairly close together as the runners of the race. But as you come down that last stretch, you give it all you have. If you want to win the race. I know my 9th grade year, I won that race. I gave it all I had. I actually even broke the school record, believe it or not, for the mile run this time. They broke that a year or so later then. That didn't mean a whole lot, but not that I was that fast. But I'm saying we finish strong. Paul says, I've finished strong. I've gave it all I've got. So I was thinking about that. I had to think of another illustration that kind of goes with it. So at work, we sell some battery-powered equipment. And the one manufacturer that I sell, they have what is called max-out technology in the battery. And so the unit, it's not necessarily in the battery, but the electronics, the unit will run at full power. And it runs full power to the very end of that battery's charge, and then it's all over. It falls off. Some batteries will run at full power, and then they begin to get weak and down to the end. Max out technology is running at full power, and then it's over. Friends, as the Christian life, as we press towards the mark, we need to run with max out technology, giving it our all. Till we get to the end. Finishing strong. Well, again, we're not talking about a physical race, but we're talking about spiritually. We need to spiritually run our race. Yes, physically, sometimes we need to slow down. Our body tells us we need to slow down. And we can't do what we used to do. But finishing strong means we hold on to the faith. Regardless of life's storms. I was thinking about, well, what are some of the battles that we face? And I recognize I'm for the most part talking to a younger group here today. Not a lot of seniors. I'm glad to hear that Walt, he's still in yet. He's running strong and he's got... He's ready to lead yet, just like Joshua. But we need what are the things that cause us not to finish well? things that we need to be aware of and need to be careful of. And we could spend a lot more time. I'm just going to go over these real brief that I have. But the Bible warns us of the deceitfulness of riches. And you might say, well, I don't have that problem. I don't have many riches. But, you know, I was thinking again about my life. And, you know, as you get older, as you raise your family and you send them out of the house, they're on their own, life maybe is a little bit better financially, and we need to be careful that the deceitfulness of riches can creep into our lives. And maybe you can't identify with that where you're at this morning, but beware. That can happen. That is something that I believe is strong, that the deceitfulness of riches can take us down and cause us not to finish well. There's doubt and unbelief, something else that can cause us to not finish well. You may have heard, already experienced, talk to someone, some senior in life, where they've gotten to where their race is pretty much run, and they're older, and they feel like they begin to question their salvation. Am I really saved? And what did I really do for the church? And they begin to doubt who they are and what they believe. It's something it's reality. To finish well means we need to guard against that doubt and that unbelief. Don't believe the devil's lies. We need to be anchored in the truth. Worry is something else. It's said that it's one of the top struggles of seniors, is worry. And so again, Bible tells us not to worry. Seniors, as you get older, as you run your race, there's lots to worry about. Finances and health and family and who's going to help me when I can't take care of myself anymore. And you could go on and on with the list. And so again, as I think about what is it that causes someone not to finish well, it can be worry. That can be one of the areas. Regret could be another one. We look back in life and look at all the things that maybe I did wrong or I could have done better, and I regret that I did this. And Paul says, I'm not looking back there. I'm not looking back to the past. I'm focusing on what's ahead. What can I do? Regret can paralyze us. It can steal our joy for serving the Lord today. There's no future in the past. We need to look to the future. Yes, we can learn from our mistakes that we make, but we need to move forward. Another area, as again, I'm thinking about finishing well. Sometimes there's this temptation that as we get older, we get to the point where we say, you know what, I served my time. I've served the church. I did this and that. And we want to go into this mode of spiritual retirement. I don't think you can find that in Scripture. I don't think Scripture teaches a spiritual retirement. I believe that is something from Satan. Satan whispers in our ear that you served your time. Now you can relax and take it easy. No, if we're going to fight well and we're going to finish strong, we need to stay strong and finish well. And we need to continue to serve. Yes, maybe what we do changes. And we can't serve in capacities that we served before. But God is not done with us. If there's breath in our lips, God still has work for us to do. We need to continue to serve, and we need to serve well. We need to finish strong. So Paul says, I fought well. I finished strong. And he concludes by saying, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Paul has carefully guarded the teachings, the doctrines of the Christian faith. And he says, I've kept them. I'm sure for Paul, he's faced times when it would have been just pretty easy to compromise and say, you know what, that's okay. But he didn't. He didn't. He could have said, you know what, that's not a real big deal. That's okay. just a little bit at a time, but he didn't. He says, I have kept the faith. He proclaimed the truth, God's truth, in purity. He sought to live by it. This idea of keeping, to keep the faith, it's the idea of guarding, attending to carefully, taking care of, protecting from loss or damage. Sometimes our human tendencies can, when things get tough, when they get hard, we can tend to give up, throw in the towel, if you will. When things are easy, we can tend to get lax and begin to compromise. The challenge is for us to guard and to protect so that neither of those happen. That we don't compromise, we don't get lax, but we keep the faith. We finish strong. Keep the faith. I found this definition for keeping the faith. It says, keep the faith centers on steadfast commitment and unwavering trust in the truth of what God has revealed. It involves holding fast to the Scripture and living in a way that displays allegiance to God's promises and commands and redemptive work through Jesus Christ. This phrase carries the idea that not only intellectually agrees with biblical truth, but also practices it faithfully in all circumstances. Keeping the faith. Paul says, I have kept the faith. In Jude 1:3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto all the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. How do we do that? How do we keep the faith? What must I do to ensure that I will hang on, that I will keep the faith as Paul did? I believe we need to stay focused, first of all. We need to, as Hebrews 12:2 says, we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look to Jesus. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Him. He is the author and the finisher. He's our beginning and our end. He's the author of our faith. He is the starting point. He's the destination. He's the finisher. We need to stay focused on Jesus Christ if we're going to keep the faith. We need to avoid distractions and entanglements. 2 Timothy 2:4, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. We dare not let the worldly cares, the fleshly desires, derail us in our race, in the battles that we face. Avoid distractions and entanglements. And then we need to stay connected. We need to stay connected. Abide in the vine. As it talks about in John chapter 15, it uses that phrase, abide in me. John 15, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, staying connected. That word abide means stay connected. The idea of staying connected. Friends, this morning we need to stay connected if we're going to keep the faith. This morning, we all need encouragement, just like Joshua needed encouragement. Encouragement to be courageous, to fight our battles well. We are pressing towards the mark. Pressing towards the mark. That means that we must fight well. That means that we must finish strong. It means that we must keep the faith. And I pray that each one of you can do that. That we can get to the end of life where Paul was at, and we can say the same thing. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. May the Lord bless each one of you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, your encouragement that you give to us through your scripture. Father, thank you for the life of Paul. Father, as we look at him, we observe Paul as this great man of faith who served, and he served well. A man that we can look up to and we can follow. As he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Father, I pray that you will help each one of us here this morning as we face the battles of life, and they are many. Father, that we can fight well those battles. Father, that we can be faithful to you through each one of them. And Father, we can, again, as Paul said, as he got to the end of his life, I've fought a good fight. Father, that we can finish strong. Father, that we don't give up, that we don't let up or slow up, but we finish strong. And God, that we would be faithful. We would keep the faith. Hang on to the truths, the principles, the teachings of your word. Practice them in our lives every day. Lord, I pray a blessing upon this congregation here in Bradford. May you lead and guide and strengthen them as we faithfully serve you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.